put the kettle on. It's time for some F and T. Here's your host, Kirsten Gentle.
Welcome to FTNA's F and T Time, a new podcast and video series aimed at keeping industry connected and updated. Today is National RUOK Day, which is a national day of action when we remind Australians that every day is the day to ask, "Are you okay?" and start a meaningful conversation whenever they spot the signs that someone they care about might be struggling with life. Are You Okay Day came about following the suicide of Barry Larkin, a much-loved husband and father, in 1995. His suicide left the family and friends in deep grief and with endless questions. In 2009, his son Gavin Larkin chose to champion just one question to honour his father and to try and protect other families from the pain he's endured. Gavin and the team genuinely believe that to change behaviour Australia-wide, a national campaign was needed, and from this realisation, Are You Okay was born. The research by Are You Okay found that 4 in 10 Australians feel asking someone, "Are you okay?" is a conversation better had with an expert. However, Are You Okay wants you to know that you don't need qualifications to have an Are You Okay conversation. Don't get us wrong, the work of health professionals is vital and their value cannot be underestimated. However, we can all play a role in supporting the people in our world. You don't need to be an expert to have an Are You Okay conversation. Listening and giving someone your time might be just what they need to help them through the day and to save a life. Like many listeners, I've lost loved ones to suicide, and you were left wondering what more could have you done and why? Like, why didn't they reach out? Even I consider myself a strong woman. However, when I was abused as a young teenager, I even had suicidal thoughts. FTMA members will have received material to help generate the discussion within the workplace, but we thought we could highlight the issue more by taking a more personal look at mental health by talking to FTMA members Dean and Tammy Kidd, who have lived with the pain and anguish of having a family member suffer from mental health. And unfortunately, they recently had to live through every parent's worst nightmare when their beautiful son Jackson took his own life. Dean and Tammy are passionate about raising awareness of mental health and suicide prevention, and it all starts with a conversation. Yes, it is a bloody hard conversation. However, it needs to happen and we all have a role to play. Please welcome Dean and Tammy. Hello, Dean and Tammy. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
Hello, Kirsten.
How are you?
So, Dean, you've worked in the frame and trust industry for a long time as both a manager and also as owners of your own trust plan. Have you had previous experience in dealing with mental health in the workplace?
Yes, Kirsten, it was a very long time ago, very much before the Are You Okay program, and it was identified that one of our managers was struggling a bit, and it was really hard to know back then what to do at all. There was no information, and I had to ring actually a GP that practices a little bit in psychology, and he gave me some questions to call this gentleman up. And if he was to answer yes to 3 of the questions that I asked, then we would need to get some further help for this bloke.
Wow. So how many questions in total did you ask?
So there was 5 questions that I needed to ask, and if there was 3 questions that he was wavering or he answered yes on, there was a good possibility that he was he was thinking suicidal thoughts and could possibly go through with it.
And so you asked him the questions, he obviously didn't answer yes to everything, or he stumbled, so you took action.
Yes, correct.
Fantastic. As people say, I was only speaking to a friend this afternoon who was speaking to her workplace about men's mental health, and she said, you know, it's amazing that everyone just says no, it should be left to the professionals, but that's the whole idea of Are You Okay, is to say that it's not just the professionals, and can you see how that worked for you at the time?
Yeah, there are very specific questions that needed to be asked, and ones that are not easy to ask. One I can remember, and it, like I said, it was a long time ago, it was probably 17 years ago now, and one of them straight out was, you know, are you having suicidal thoughts? And that was one of the questions that this doctor asked me to ask this guy. And they're hard questions to ask someone.
Yeah. And it's one thing to talk to a colleague or an employee about their mental health struggles. And even though Jackson worked in the trust plant with both of you, was it harder talking to Jackson? I know my kids don't like listening to me or me talking to them or lecturing them. Was it harder being that Jackson was your son to talk to him or identify the mental health in the workplace?
Well, I would say in a family business when you've got your kids working there with you, we're generally harder on them and our expectations on them are more than somebody who comes in and is working with you. And we refer to the people that work for us as our kids as well, but definitely for our own, we are harder on them. And, you know, on the days that Jackson probably was really struggling with his mental health, in all honesty, Dean and I could reflect that, you know, some days he probably did need to have a day at home or probably need to talk about it, but we did say, come on, you've got to get up and you've got to come to work because it's what we do. So, yes, in reflection to that, we know that we need to accept that when they're your own, they're just the same as everybody else. And, there's a little lesson in there for us, wasn't it, Ben?
Yeah.
And Tammy, when you and I've spoken recently, you talked about an article you read about a person who took their life, but they left a note indicating that they could have been stopped. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't give credit to the source where I heard that from. I think it was on another podcast about mental health, about somebody in a professional role whose job was probably a detective to investigate with suicides, so the reasons why people, you know, what leads them in their life to make this final decision. And a man had walked to the Golden Gate Bridge and he jumped off there to end his life. And this detective, if that's what he was, if you like, he'd gone back to his house to see if there was any evidence left behind to work out what had happened with him. And he'd left a note to say that he was leaving home on this day and that if one person was to stop him on the way to that bridge with a smile, he wouldn't go ahead with it. And this man just said that was so profound, you know, that, you know, it was a little distance for him to walk from his house to the bridge, and not one single person had smiled at him on the way or made eye contact. And I just think that's kind of indicative of how we can kind of be a little bit in life. We're all a bit too busy and we're a bit focused on other things, and we have to have our eyes open and ears and looking for people when it's in front of you like that. If someone's not doing well, not to be too embarrassed to ask them, or not to be minding our business like we're told that we should do all the time. So I thought it was a really, really good story. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the days of, you know, telling people that harden up, or, you know, have a teaspoon of cement and harden up, was Scott, my husband's line to the kids growing up. But those days are definitely gone.
Yeah.
So Jackson's partner, Ellie, is trying to make a difference, and she set up a men's Facebook page, and you were saying how many men are pouring their heart out on this page. What can be done, or, you know, what should be done to address this issue? And can you talk about the Facebook page that Ellie's been running?
Yeah, well, her Facebook page has been really great. So it's an opportunity for men who can post on there anonymously if they choose to say what's bothering them in life, if they, you know, have friends or family that they really can't or don't want to talk to them about it, and they can say what, you know, their problems are. It seems to be people who are not quite yet ready to go to that, to get that professional help. So she's got all of the links on there for people that are available. They might not know that they're there, so she's put them on there for people to see. But sometimes, you know, for men, they want to hear from other men, and that's an opportunity for them to do that. So it's a great way for people to connect with each other and hopefully, you know, just feel a bit better and to see from other people that there's lots of people going through the same things. They're not alone. It's lots of people individually experiencing the same. So collectively, you know, we are together. And so she's got all of these other links in there. So she's not trying to start something brand new. She's going to link it back into all the other fantastic things that there are available.
That's fantastic. And do you think, was Jackson looking at any of these resources or I suppose seeking help?
He didn't appear to be, but certainly, you know, I think for a lot of young men, when they are finding their way, if they find that they haven't got a, you know, there's a bit of embarrassment or shame that they haven't got a big group of, you know, mates at a particular time in their life, because when you're, you know, up to 25 and, you know, around that age, your peers are the most important to you, and for whatever reasons, you might just not have them at that particular time.
Yeah.
So it's harder for them to connect probably with picking up the phone to Lifeline or someone like that and not knowing who's on the other side. So something like this might be really helpful because there's encouragement from other people who have done it and just hearing from their peers. No, it's a good thing to go and get some professional help if you need it and a bit of reassurance from your own peers.
Yep, they a lot of people look at it as selfish, you know, when people take their life. But the heart, the pain that they must be going through, I can only imagine. And I spoke to you, Tammy, about Scott's cousin and when he took his life. And the first time we noticed it and we talked him down, but then he cut us off. And it was after about 9 months of us not being in his life and he cut off other people that he finally took his life. Is that do you think that's an indication when people are cutting people off that, you know, maybe you need to push through that?
With Jackson, because he was in Tasmania for quite a while before coming back just after Christmas, we found that we thought Jackson had everything in life, Kirsten. He was back at work with himself and, you know, I suppose in essentially Kid Trust, all the people still that he knew. He had Ellie that we always said that Jackson just needed a good girl and that was gonna fix all of our problems. So, Kirsten, in our eyes, in the perfect, I suppose, what society thinks a perfect life is, you know, we thought that he had all that. So, but on the day, we think he just had enough. He went to work. He left early. All the signs were there that we look for now, and what people should look for is the behaviours that are just not him. Jackson would be the first at work and the last to leave. That day, he left work early. He caught an Uber home, so Ellie didn't bring him home. He caught an Uber home. He deliberately went down the side of the house, the long side of the house, so he didn't have to come through the front door because we're positive that if he was met with our dog, it's like that story that Tammy told. I think that if he'd met with our dog wouldn't have let him do it because Jackson loved the dog. So I think in a way, Kirsten, Jackson had sort of made his mind up with what he was going to do, and I don't think he, in his own mind, that anything was going to stop him. And he made things happen in the fact that he was ready. He was ready that day to do what he did, and he made sure that everything was, you know, in his favour. Like I said, little things like not saying goodbye to anyone at work, you know, not asking for his mother to take him home, not looking at the dog when he's coming through the house. That it was going to be a very, very hard job for anyone to stop Jackson on that day. And there was probably about 5 points through that day that he could have been stopped if people around him could identify what was going on that day. And unfortunately, one cuddle or one, you know, is everything okay? Maybe we would have been able to stop him that day, and maybe another month Jackson could have seen things a bit different. But, you know, there was probably 15 people that could have done something that day if they would have known and would have identified and just would have seen, you know, what he was like that day.
Yeah.
And that's what burns the most.
I know as a teenager, which I was speaking to you the other day, Tammy, about, you know, when I was abused, I definitely had suicidal thoughts and I put walls up. I put walls up my whole life. I mean, the reason I've got fibromyalgia, I believe, is because of the anger that I held, and I just blocked anyone out. So nobody could help me if I didn't want to be helped, because I just blocked everybody out. So I can completely understand that when you're in so much pain and you cannot understand why you're thinking the way you're thinking. And, you know, I just think that I've always tried to do that since, reach out and say to people, because you just don't know. And I mean, you know, so today is Are You Okay Day, and you've just talked then, Dean, about the importance of having that conversation and the difference it can make. Will you change or introduce policies around Are You Okay, or have something at work? What should be done at work now to try and address this in the future?
So in my belief, everyone should at least be able to identify different behaviours. And really, Kirsten, that is easy, because in the trust plant, we always work in pairs minimum. Generally, you always work with the same person in the trust plant. That's how the teams work. I think we need to get to the core root and the grassroots of these guys working side by side. And if the identification there is that something wrong, my belief is that they don't need to personally be taught what to do, but they need to be taught where to go, you know. And then maybe there's one champion at the site that then knows what the second step is. But I think that if, you know, someone on the floor that day even sent me a text, and I could have been able to, if I was the, you know, if I was the champion, in, not that I was just Dad's, you know, Jackson's old man.
Yeah.
But if I was the champion on that side, and I could have been received a text message even, and I could have met Jackson at the gate, I think that would have made all the difference. And I think that's what trust plants, even if they don't have a big, you know, HR budget cursed, or, you know, just have the identification there on the floor to say, hey, you know, it sounds a bit dicky, that are you okay, even if they're not them words, even if it's just the identification that someone's not quite right that day. And because they are very good at hiding it as well, like we got photos around the house of Jackson with that smile. 98% of the time, 99% of the time, Jackson had that smile on his face. He had it the day before. You know, he cooked us tea before, the night before. He was sitting around our table with that smile on his stupid head, you know. And the very next day, he's in a spot that no one was going to stop him. Now, if there's someone on a trust plant site that could just go to the next level with that person, you know, it's the identification's the key, but then just at least notifying someone else that something's not quite right, and let that person, and then if that person does step two, and then there's someone else, you know, that does step three, but try to get them through the steps on that day to try to keep them alive for that day.
Yeah, I totally agree, Dean. And FTMA sent out with Forest Works, we did the mental health policy, which every business has got, every, you know, FTMA member, Forest Works provide it to many others in the industry where you can actually adopt that. And in the next few months, we'll be doing mental health first aid training via Zoom. And I really encourage all our members to actually participate, because it is really important to have somebody in the workplace. And it's, I especially think young kids these days with the sledging, with the keyboard warrior rubbish that happens, so that, you know, people just have to realise that anything you're saying can hurt somebody. And as you said, to say, whether it's are you okay, or how you going today, mate, or you're looking at, like you're having a hard day, anything like that, to show somebody that you care, and just to alert people. I know during lockdown, I had quite a few fabricators would ring me and say, hey, Kirst, I was speaking to so-and-so yesterday. I just thought you might want to check in on them tomorrow. And quite often I would ring another fabricator and say, hey, can you check in on this person? And I think it was really important to make sure that everyone has a place to go and to talk to.
And simple things, you know, like if the manager or owner is, they've got real handy access to everyone's, you know, next of kin, or someone that, you know, we always talk in the workplace about accidents and who to ring if there's an accident. My belief is that we should have another line there of who do I call for other things, Kirst, yeah? So the manager or the owner has got an up-to-date contact list that, you know, if someone did leave early that day for something and they didn't talk to anyone, that the manager or the owner can get straight onto that contact list and say, look, I don't know what's happening, or everything might be okay, but, you know, Juggler left early today and I just need you to check in on him or her and see if everything's okay.
Yep. And I know that you had a previous employee whom I knew, and that's exactly what you did when they weren't having a good day. And that ended up being a great family discussion. So look, I just think it's such an important conversation. It is a hard conversation, but if everyone looks out for everyone, it might just save that next person's, from taking their own life.
Yeah, and it's not about someone just having the shits on for the day. Yeah,
totally.
And we've got to remember that it's not just, in a trust plan, it's get the shits on, leave him alone for the day. It's not like that anymore. Yeah, if someone is out of character, you need to be asking the questions, because, like I said, Jackson had a stupid grin on his face most days. And this day he didn't. And like I said, we truly believe that if someone would have asked the question, put an arm around him, let me know, or let Ellie know that he's, you know, maybe it's different. And that's the thing that everyone that's listening needs to remember, that it just takes one little thing or a couple of actions and we could save lives just by doing a couple of little things. And it's not a lot. It's really not a lot.
Well, FTMA was really proud to raise just over $17,000 for Mates in Construction in Jackson's name at our conference. And we would like to look into the future for next year and look at doing, you know, encouraging or rewarding or awarding, I should say, fabricators who do wellness programs, because employee wellness programs are essential. And by doing those sort of programs, looking at mental health policies, doing toolbox meetings around it, participating in Are You Okay, and ensuring that you do have mental health champions in your workplace, then we want to make sure that we recognise those people. And with a Jackson Kidd Award down the track.
That would be fantastic.
It would be an honour.
Yep.
He'd be so proud of that, yeah.
Well, he loved the frame and truss industry, didn't he?
He did, indeed. He lived and breathed nail plates. He stunk of them and he lived them. So, yeah.
Well, thank you both very much for joining us tonight. We completely understand how difficult it is to talk about, and we really applaud you for taking this message out to the whole frame and truss industry, because it is important and we really do hope it makes a difference. So thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Dean. And love to the entire family.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Kirsten.
I can only imagine how hard that was for Tammy and Dean, and on behalf of the FTMA members and F&T Time listeners, we thank you for sharing your story, which we hope helps generate a discussion in the workplace around mental health. As Dean and Tammy said, sometimes it's just a simple act of checking in on a mate that can save their lives. If someone at work is acting out of place or lashing out, don't just put it down to them having a bad day. Ask them if they are okay. Earlier this week, all FTMA members would have received a suite of information, including posters, toolbox meetings, presentation and discussion points, to enable the discussion to happen in the workplace. We urge you to read these resources, as we know that there is a pressing need for conversations beginning with Are You Okay? The past few years have been tough for many. Some didn't cope with lockdowns, some were kept away from family, and some simply couldn't handle the stress that comes with a pandemic. Everyone is wired differently, and the old days of telling people to toughen up is no longer acceptable. Your colleague, your employee may have an illness or a family member with an illness that can rob them of confidence and energy. They could have lost a loved one, which saps them of energy and hope. Or they could have relationship problems that make them confused, sad or angry. We all need conversations, and the best conversations for those not coping is around us asking, are you okay? By giving someone the opportunity and the time to share what they're feeling, we're giving that person something truly invaluable. We're giving that person a sense of connection and a sense of belonging, which is something we all deserve. We truly hope this starts a conversation in your workplace, as we must all look out for our tribe. Thanks again to Dean and Tammy for giving us their time today. And until next time, thanks for listening to another F&T Time. If this episode of F&T Time has brought up any issues, or if you know of anyone who needs help, contact Lifeline on 131114 or via their website at lifeline.org.au. There are also other resources and helplines in the description of this episode, including Beyond Blue, where you can access the online forums and chat with a mental health professional or connect with others in the same boat. Once again, thanks for joining F&T Time.